Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is how to set cluster ports using command line after configuring a deployment manager in WebSphere Process Server. Today's presenter is Dan Eccles. Dan is a Level 2 customer support engineer working with WebSphere Process Server on Unix and COS. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Dan.
Thank you, Joseph. Today's presentation is very single-pointed to the ports. In previous presentations, I presented how to install WebSphere Process Server and set up databases and create profiles and deployment environments. And in that process, I found that I ran into some port conflicts, and I needed to find a way to set up the ports from command line. Go ahead with slide one, Joe. Now, the agenda today is to talk about the WebSphere Process Server port configuration. And to keep this really effective, I wanted to make sure I presented a very focused presentation just on this one single topic, and hopefully it'll be very useful for you. I'm not expecting to use the full hour in presentation, and hopefully we'll have a lot of time for questions. If they're complex, I'll request that you email me, and you can find my email address in the slides there. So we'll talk about the problem with port conflicts, and this is why we set ports, how the product has a mechanism to do conflict avoidance. And one of the reasons I run into this often, the need for this, is how I set up my lab systems. And as a reference, we'll point back to the Business Process Manager version 7.5 production topologies. And go ahead and show you how I set ports. Slide three. So the topology in the production topologies red book that I alluded to there is remote messaging, remote support, and web topology. I'm just going to look at the remote messaging and remote support clusters. When you set up a deployment environment, you need to have at least one D manager and one managed node. And the commands to set up a deployment environment profile and the managed node gives you the opportunity to either use the default ports, which is no argument to the manage profiles command. And I should stop here and say the profile management tool also gives you some selections, but I'm focused directly on command line, so I'm not really pointing out how that the profile management tool works. Everything I do is from the manage profiles command. So on that command line, you can provide a argument for setting a starting port or pointing to a port definition file. And the port definition file will set up a range of ports. So, for example, if you wanted to set both the deployment manager profile and the managed node profile on the same server, say an AIX box, that it would have a starting port for the D manager as 10,000, and maybe the managed node would start out at 20,000. And for each of the items that needs a port to communicate, it would increment that port for any port that wasn't used. So once you have the deployment environment set up, you create the deployment environment, and at that time, it creates the clusters for application messaging and support. And at that point, there's no opportunity to set those ports. Those are defaults. And so this presentation is showing how to set those ports. Slide 4. So this is the graphic from the Production Topologies Red Book for Business Process Management Advanced. And the upper left, you'll see a blue box that says DMGR. That has a range of ports that you can set, again, from profile management. And the two nodes next to that, and then those each you can set, again, set with profile management, profile manager command, starting ports, or a port definition file. But then the messaging cluster, app cluster, support clusters are incremented. So I'm repeating myself, but I'm trying to use this slide to outline some of the components in here for the messaging and show how there's a need for this. Slide 5. So the commands, if you set up an environment in a lab and you shut it down and start up as another user, another instance, as I do, you'll find this happens sometimes that you forget that you set a port or set a port range in one instance and then do it again, you'll run into a conflict. And so this is a managed node startup error message that shows a port conflict is detected. So port 10,209 was already running in a different profile, and I started up the node, and it complains, okay, well, you need to change the ports. Slide 6. So from the administration console, you can view these ports through looking at the cluster and selecting ports. I just cut and paste the port listing so that it would show you what the ports are. In this case, it's just one of the clusters, and it's incremented once up from the default ports, or a couple actually here. But it shows you, the intent of this slide is to show you the number of ports there in one of the managed nodes, those clusters. Slide 7. So from the administration console, to change one of the ports, you can do this one at a time and select the... You can see here on the top of the parade here, it's node agents, ports, and then I selected the bootstrap address. And with the cluster down, I set the node agent has to be running, but the cluster is down. And I changed the port here and hit apply and OK. And it'll go, and if and when I sync the node, it'll write out to the managed node. Slide 8. So setting the ports, again, is done through the profile creation for the deployment manager, the managed node profile creation. When you add the node to the deployment environment, when you add the managed node to the deployment manager, you can at that time tell it the port definition file or the starting port, or it'll find the ports based on a baseline of default ports. And then during the deployment environment creation, remote messaging and support, the ports are selected from the defaults and incremented. So there's no control over setting up the cluster ports, it's done automatically for you. Slide 9. So the conflict avoidance feature is done at all of those steps, except for when you give it a port definition file, it just uses those ports. You can, from the profile management command, when you give it the argument port definition file, it uses those ports. You can tell it to use default ports. It'll use those. But for conflict avoidance, it'll look across all of your profiles. So if you have an environment where you have multiple profiles already set up, it'll check for those ports, and it'll do an environment check to see if the port is in use. So using the baseline defaults, it increments for anything that you already have in your environment, and it'll check for this network status to see if that port is actually in use and avoid that by just incrementing from the baseline. Slide 10. So a port is just a TCP/IP port. This is kind of basic information. If you want to list a port, you can hit, or on a system, if you want to list the ports that are in use or active or in a state where it's getting closed or a hung port, you can use the netstat command. Netstat minus AN will show A for all of the ports, and then N will skip lookups for both the IP address and for Etsy services. I focused on Etsy services because that's where you'll find ports names. If you wanted to have an environment where you take all of your ports and document them so that the Unix system administrator or Windows can see what those ports are. So instead of seeing 9060, you see admin console port or something, some acronym of that. You can actually document the system ports here. A little bit about netstat minus A. It runs a lot faster if you put N, because N says don't try to resolve. So it will, in some environments, the IP address won't be known, and it'll take some time to get the listing because it'll try to do an NS lookup or check the Etsy host file. And it can be time-consuming to do it that way. But it's a relatively fast command. So if you wanted to document your environment other than the server index XML or through WebSphere environment, you could actually just populate this file, Etsy services, to show what's running. If you leave the N off and just do netstat minus A, for each port that it finds, it'll list what that port is in the output of netstat, and it will return whatever string that you put in there for Etsy services. And the format is very obvious when you look at the file. But its name and then what the number is, 9060. You might want to put admin 9060/TCP/IP and then aliases for that. If you look at the file, for example, you see FTP is port 21, and then it's TCP. Now, Etsy services is used by the system for the INETD or Internet Daemon to start things on demand for some RPC tools and other things in system. So it's not necessary for you to make these changes here. It's just sort of, oh, by the way, you can document it here if you want to. If you're troubleshooting something, it might be useful. If you have tens of environments on a single system, it might be very useful to segregate or to identify who has what port ranges. It's probably useful for more for development than production. You can also find the ports in that were initially set up for a profile under the logs directory. It'll have some of the ports listed in about this profile or other text files. So from the command line, the only way I could find as a documented method to set the ports was to modify, this is for a cluster environment where I used the admin console to look at command assist to see what the commands were to, what commands assist would show me. Back up a little bit. The administrative console has the ability to show you up in the right-hand section of the screen of the admin console a command assist. So if you do an operation, for example, the first one here is just listing the ports. And you saw the earlier slide where I had a graphic of port names and ports. This is the command that was used internally to generate that list. So if you were to write a script using wsadmin command, this would return the list of ports. And then one by one, if you wanted to modify those ports, you could just run each a command for each one of the ports. So you see here the admin task modify server port, server name, or the node name, the endpoint, and this one is the bootstrap address, the host, one of the hosts I work in my lab, Lobster, and the port that I'm setting it to, and modified shared. I found that this was a quite tedious process, even to script. And I found that I haven't found anyone that really likes to do this way. But it works. And it's what is returned from the admin console in command assist. Slide 12. So where all the addresses and ports are and what is being modified by the previous slide commands is server index XML. So more common than any other that I've seen is that it's quite simple to just to edit the file and run node sync. So we never, ever say, go and use VI and modify XML file. It's not a supported process. It doesn't mean that it doesn't work. It just means that if you have a problem with it, if you made a syntax error and caused the problem, well, you have to solve that. We're not going to direct you to edit the file, but at the same time, it works. So it's sort of a dual message here, and I kind of apologize for spinning around in here a little bit on this, but it's a common practice. But saying that it's not a supported process just means that L2 doesn't document, or this isn't documented in our manual on how to edit server index XML. It could cause problems down the road. Things can change. The supported practice is through the admin console and those previous commands from wsadmin. Those commands will take care of anything other that may change in the future. This is just a common practice in the field that is being done, and for initial setup, I don't see any problem with it. Being support, though, I have to say, well, it's not a supported process. So the way I've done it is I just go to VI, server index XML, and walk through each one of the port settings, being very careful, and save it, and then down the cluster, or with the cluster not even started yet, do a node sync, and the D manager will tell the nodes to update server index XML. So server index XML files are the files that are referenced on startup of the cluster. That's where it reads the information from to start the ports. So I hope that message is clear. It works, but it's not something that if you have a problem with this process, we're going to help fix. And we're not really saying you're on your own, but it's something that is, it just works, but it's not documented in any of our manuals, and we're not promoting it, but at the same time, I just wanted to let you know, hey, this works. I can't really say that much better than that. Slide 13. So the node agent has been running when you do the node sync. The node sync or sync node command, the usage is here. These are the listing of the ports again. This is after I had made the change from the default ports to the range that I picked for my nodes for my cluster. And then after that, I just execute sync node, connection type, username, password if security is on, and the profile name. And you can find more on this sync node command, but it's very common to kick off from shell or from the admin console. 14. So what sync node does is it copies, for this purpose, it copies the port file from the D manager to the profile. And the D manager and node has a copy of the server index XML for all components. And here's the result of the sync node command that I ran for my host, Lobster. And the SOAP port is 11003, the connection type SOAP, and the username, password, common defaults. So the messages that are produced from that finally end up with synchronizing configuration between node and cell, and finally that it's synchronized. Slide 15. So looking for a better way to do this, I found that the WASP environment has, as part of its templates, an ANT file, an ANT program that will actually update the ports and has methodology for doing all of this in a supported fashion. And I found that the process server does not yet have a ANT script that will do this. If you wanted to, if you needed to have a automated environment where you were running through this process, rapidly setting up deployment environments, this would be the way to do it. Instead of creating something that would edit the file and do it the manual method or the unsupported method that I was showing earlier, this is also something that wouldn't be supported yet because it's not part of the process server templates, but it's part of the WebSphere templates. This update node ports ANT program. So just to make the presentation more complete, I wanted to make sure I mentioned that the WebSphere application server templates for creating profiles has this methodology, but it is specific to each template, so it has not been part of the WebSphere process server yet. I just wanted to be complete that there is a process for doing this that was in WASP. Slide 16. So to sum up, I think I've effectively showed probably more than you want to know about ports, but I want to make sure that this is out there. Why we see port complex and I should go back a little bit and say, well, in this lobster system I have, it has lots of memory, and it is an AIX system that could support LPARs, and I could divide it up that way. But I found, personally working, I like to create multiple environments for replicating problems, and I sometimes set up one environment and then break it, and then create up another environment and then compare the two. So I want them exactly the same. So then later I might decide, well, I want to start both environments. And at that point, I'll have a port conflict because I've set up an environment from one user, user one, and then user two, and just comparing those two, I won't start them both at the same time, but later I want to start both of them. So I have to go and redo all the ports. And I found that I can create several environments on a machine and cause several port conflicts. So that's the reason I run into port conflicts. In summary, I think I showed you effectively how to set all the ports and what node or sync node does, how you can effectively have several instances in a single system address space. 17. And Joe, I think at this point I'll hand the presentation back to you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ben, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
We have one question in the queue from Melinda Kulkarni. Your line is open.
Hi, I have a couple of questions. First thing is, we are trying to use a product, IBM BPM Advanced, which is similar to WPS, obviously, but has more components.
Yes.
And we are working on putting a topology where we have one D manager and we have multiple clusters. And since we have limited number of machines, we obviously are limited to have to install multiple instances of multiple different clusters and on the same set of machines. So we have a machine one and machine two, and what we are trying to do is put a D manager on machine one and then have a process server clusters created on machine one, machine two, and another cluster created on machine one, machine two. And we are facing problems like we don't know where to specify the ports, obviously, and there is a port conflict. So this was immensely helpful. One question I have is, can we have multiple D managers installed on the same machine, and can we change the ports for D manager?
So yes, the best way to do it is when you set up. To use the manage profiles command and set the port range either using the starting port or port definition file. Once it's set up and you want to change the environment, like I showed earlier, you can modify server index XML and set the range of ports that way. So this presentation focused on just the cluster once it's set up, but the entire environment is also something that you can reassign ports to. Now, I'm a little hesitant of recommending setting, modifying these ad hoc, but it should work fine. I have multiple D managers running, multiple clusters running on the same server. Of course, this is all for a sandbox where I delete and create environments very rapidly. I have two presentations I did for WebSphere Process Server that are not too much different from BPM Advanced in the commands that you're using to create the deployment environment or create the DMGR profile using a starting port range, and then the managed nodes, the same thing. You set either a ports file or a port definition file or just a starting range. And then everything gets put into server index XML, so you can basically edit that and do the node syncs if you wanted to do it that way. But there's some complexities in doing the entire environment and editing that way, and you're running into trouble. You really can't look to us to unravel that. So that's kind of why I'm saying it's not supported. But the best thing is to do is to sort of wrap up a long meandering answer here. The best methodology is to set it up with the managed profiles to set the starting port range for the D manager and then the managed node. When you start up the clusters, if you leave them running, even if they're running on different users, they'll avoid port conflict by checking the ports. So if you get a starting address, a starting port number at 10,000, and you already had something running at 10,000, it would see that and increment all the ports accordingly. So they would all have unique ports. But if they were running as different users and with different install routes for WebSphere, they would not be able to look at each other's profile index XML under the properties directory, so it wouldn't know where to find the ports list or the server index XML. So I hope that answers the question. If you want, you can send me an email, and I maybe could point a little bit better to the presentations I did in the past.
That would be great. Yeah, absolutely. What is your email address?
It's at the top of the presentation, eykholt@us.ibm.com.
Okay, great. Yeah, I also have a similar question. Probably it's not very limited to, just to the port numbers, but I have a D manager, and I'm trying to add multiple clusters to the D manager. So I have a D manager which I want to control a U81, U82, and U83, three different environments. And when I add U81, it works fine, but when I try to add U82, it messes up things like the users, the aliases, and the JNDI configurations on the side, server side. So not sure if that is the right way to do, or we just have one D manager per cluster, and if that is the right way to do, then how to do it is the question.
That's a design consideration. I don't know if I could fully address it. It also depends on how autonomous you want to run these things. So I can't really address that.
So do you think, is that a good practice to have one D manager having two different clusters dedicated to two different environments? Is that possible? And if it is that possible, then is that something which is a usual practice?
I don't see it as usual practice. I don't see any problem with it, other than like you probably experienced with every good thing going to the same database by default. You can segregate them. You can create I don't think there's a limit other than the machine and address space of doing it. It's just sort of what's the benefit and what's the drawbacks, and that's something you have to really think about. I never set up an environment like that, so I really don't have direct experience.
So you're saying the usual practice is that you have to have a separate D manager for every cluster?
You really don't have to do it that way, though. I mean, production topologies, I think, might address that. The Red Book that I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation.
Through the Red Book, and the Red Book doesn't mention anything about relationship between the number of D managers and the number of clusters. It just shows that a diagram where it has one D manager and multiple clusters on the production environment. But obviously, it's not multiple clusters. It's basically the topology where you have a messaging cluster and a service cluster and an application cluster, right? That's topology. The diagram which you showed in your presentation, that's the only use case that it talks about. It doesn't talk about the different options that we can have. So we can add machines to the cluster, so I can have 10 machine cluster, but then it will be the same cluster we're talking about. So it doesn't talk about having prod 1 and prod 2 different environments, something like multiple clusters completely separate from each other, completely isolated from each other, but controlled via one same D manager. And I can see on the chat here that Boo is mentioning that you can have multiple clusters on one D manager.
Yeah.
So, Boo, if you can send me your email ID, I can send you an email, and then we can maybe chat offline.
There's a lot of flexibility you can do with all the environments. One thing I would think of, that if you're starting out with it, it makes sense to keep it kind of simple, especially if you wanted to take one environment and start it and stop it and upgrades and things like that. It may be actually simpler to have multiple team managers, but it's really a design thing that I don't really normally get into.
Yeah, our problem is that we
pass that off to services.
Sorry to hijack this.
Sure, that's all right. Good.
But mainly our constraint is that we only have four machines, and using those four machines, we have to set up Dev1, Dev2, Dev3, SIT1, SIT2, SIT3, and UAT1, UAT2, UAT3. Total 9 environments. And if we can't use, say, multiple D managers on the same box, or we can't set up multiple clusters in one D manager, then we really are tied up to provide only four environments out of those four boxes. So it's...
I think it's more of a memory problem and address space problem than any limitation from the product. I don't see why you'd have to have you limited to one D manager per system.
No, we don't want to do that, but we are facing problems, and we haven't seen any book, any red book, or any documentation which talks about this scenario. So every time we take a look at the books, it shows a specific and actually I want to go to the next question, which my colleague Krishna is going to ask. He has more specifics and more details. So if moderator, you can switch to the next question, Krishna, that would be great. And thanks a lot for answering my questions. Thanks, you.
You're welcome.
Our next question is from Krishna Uko. Your line is open.
Yep. Hi, this is Krishna. I created a process server node, but in my response file, I've written it as federate later is equals to true and with the ports file. And when I use the manage profile command to create the profile, it doesn't take the port definitions defined.
I'm sorry, you said you used the ports file and it's not taking it.
It's not taking it. And
for what component? For the deployment manager profile?
Not for deployment manager profile. It is for the process server.
For the managed node.
Managed, yes.
That's the template you're using, right? Managed.
Proc server at ADV.
I missed what you just said. Sorry. Proc server.
Advanced.
Okay. So it's not taking it. It means that it's just using the defaults and.
Yes.
I'd have to look at the logs and things for that to analyze it. I think in this case, you'd probably want to open up a PMR or let me know what the PMR is in email, and I can take a look at it.
Sure. I can send in my response files and the port definition files in it.
And yeah, this is probably the best just to go to that group. I actually support the process server still, and I'm not part of the group that's supporting BPM yet, so soon to be, but there may be something there that I'm not aware of. But the problems that I have seen with the port definition file is that it's very tight as far as its syntax. There can be no spaces around the equal sign, and there can be no space after the port number, or it misreads the file. So its parser is very tight as far as the way that it reads the port definition file. You might want to just try it with a port range and see if that works. So in this case, it's just setting up the node agent ports. And the general practice that I've used for this is for the managed node, set the ports with the augmentation step. So in my examples I've done in past presentations, and I have two white papers out, for one for install, one for creating the environment in version 7 of Process Server. I use when I create the managed node, I delay augmentation step and do that in a separate step. And as far as the augment or add node command, I do a you can do a starting port or use the port definition at that part, at that point. It seems to work the best for me, and I can't for right now figure out why that's the case, but it just, or I don't recall why that's the case, but it seemed to work best for me to do it that way. So creating profile and then doing the add node with the port definition or port range. Those should all work together as well as a single step as well, but it just seemed less error prone for myself to do it in two steps. Does that make sense? When you do the managed node, you can tell it to give it the port range and all that, but that is trying to connect to the deployment environment at that time. So what I do is I create the profile and delay the augmentation step. So it's not trying to connect to the demanager at that step.
Okay.
So during add node is where it actually connects to the deployment environment. So when you create the managed profile and are trying to do the add node at the same time or augmenting it to the deployment environment has to be up. You have to be able to make the subport connection to the deployment environment, so or the deployment manager profile. So that's why I do it in two steps, recalling. But the add node command will come back with a better error and tell you, okay, you can't connect to the deployment deployment manager. And so that's why I do it at that step. And that's the point where it actually connects to the deployment environment is where it is assigning ports.
Okay, but when you do give the add node, you give the SOAP port, right?
Right.
So that is for the demanager. You give
right.
the host name, the demanager SOAP port, the username and password to add the current node or current process server or process center node to the demanager.
Right. And it is at that step where the ports get assigned as well. So you can look at the command line arguments for that. I don't know if we have an example out there.
So you're saying that I can provide a port definition file at the add node command itself?
Yes, or a starting port.
Okay, I'll check that out. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We have no further questions.
Thank you for a great presentation today, Dan. And at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.